It's worth noting that if our current series up the Sermon on the Mount was a plane that's taken off and has been traveling for a good length of time, well, today starts the descent. Not in a negative sense, but here Jesus is starting to come to the climax of all that he's been saying. So as Jesus continues to teach his disciples about rescued life and kingdom living, he now underlines in our passage this morning and the ones we'll see over the next few weeks, he underlines the seriousness of all that he's been saying. So as the disciples engage with his radical teaching and as the crowds listen on to what Jesus says about kingdom living, today's passage begins to highlight the clear comparison between two different ways to live. It's introduced in our passage, as we'll see in a moment, with two gates and two roads. But over the next few weeks, we'll come across two trees, two claims, and two houses, and in all of them, pictures of two destinations. And all of us this morning fall into two types of people listening to Jesus. Either you've come to Jesus for forgiveness and you're now a saved disciple, learning from Jesus what it is to live as a disciple, or you're part of the crowd currently living life without Jesus as your rescuing king. So disciple or crowd, there's no other side here or here today. So with Matthew 7 open in front of you, let me read to you verse 13 and verse 14. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This is God's word to us this morning. Let me pray before we have a look at these verses together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the simplicity of Jesus' words that we've just read. And Father, whether we're a disciple of Jesus here this morning or someone who would say they're part of the crowd here this morning, please, would you help us to receive your warnings and encouragements of what Jesus says here, that we wouldn't merely listen to what you have to say to us today, but that we would act on it, we would do what you say. So, Father, please help us to listen and to understand your word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus has one command for both his disciples, his saved people, and for the crowds that are gathered. And the command is very simple. It's the first five words of our passage. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate." Now, you may be thinking, well, what on earth is Jesus on about? What's he mean, enter through the narrow gate? Where is this narrow gate? Well, if you've ever been to a football or a rugby match, you'll know or you're experienced walking through the narrow turnstiles in order to get into the stadium. Now, they're not pretty by any means. They're normally these kind of really hard, rigid metal objects. And it can certainly be a squeeze to get through, even for skinny people like me. But to enter in to watch a game, you have to enter the stadium on their terms. You have to purchase a ticket. You can't take loads of things with you. And when it comes to entering the kingdom of heaven, the place where Jesus is king, it's exactly the same. You see, Jesus is talking about entry to his kingdom here. And we can only enter on Jesus' terms. We've seen over the last few weeks that as we approach the kingdom, we have absolutely nothing to give, nothing to offer God in order to gain his favor or to kind of sway him to let us in. As Jesus has revealed the righteousness or perfect requirements of his subjects in his kingdom, we're exposed again and again as unworthy sinners. is something that we've seen should cause us to weep as we mourn our sin. It should leave us poor in spirit, that we may recognize our need of the forgiveness that Jesus alone offers. To enter into the kingdom of heaven, to receive life, we must come to King Jesus and ask him for his help. And that's exactly what Nathan helpfully showed us last week and reminded us this morning in the kids' talks of ask, knock, seek, or the other way around. That's how you become a disciple of Jesus, but it's also how you continue in the journey by recognizing your inability and coming to him. So entry into Jesus' kingdom is only through the narrow gate. There's no other way. You can't kind of jump over the fence, as it were. This is the narrow gate Jesus calls us to enter. It's through him. And as Jesus calls us to enter this gate, he provides us this morning with warnings and encouragements. Now, as we approach the Easter holidays, you may end up driving along the motorway. Now, if you do, you need to be aware of a variety of signs that will keep you safe and help you to avoid danger. Now, two signs you might come across are these, so you can see that clearly. So firstly, you might see an X sign above a lane. Another sign you might see is this kind of stay in lane sign. Now, if you're a driver here, I'd expect or hope that you'd know what these signs mean. And if you're not, one of them's pretty obvious. But the X sign, it means the lane ahead is closed. It means you need to change lanes. That means there's danger ahead. You need to move. Change lanes, otherwise you will end up in trouble. The other lane, pretty obvious, stay in lane. It's used to keep us safe and others safe too. And as we think about these verses, verse 13 and 14 this morning, I hope that these two kind of motorway signs will help us to think through Jesus' warnings and his encouragements. Because as Jesus commands all his listeners to enter through the narrow gate, he firstly warns the crowds, those who haven't come to him for forgiveness yet. He warns them that they need to enter through the narrow gate. The alternative, much broader gate and road, though it might look appealing, leads only to destruction. It leads only to disaster and disappointment. And if you're not a disciple of Jesus here this morning, the warning here is that as you drive down the motorway of life, there is a big X above your lane. And Jesus says you need to change lanes. Change lanes before it's too late. Disaster's coming. Destruction is at the end of this road. For his disciples, as they hear the command to enter through the narrow gate, he is encouraging them to keep going, to stay in lane, despite all the difficulties. Keep going in your faith. Keep trusting the Lord Jesus. Don't be tempted to drift. Don't be tempted to even change lanes. Don't get distracted. Don't let your eyes be drawn to what everyone else is doing. Stay in lane. Keep focused on the road ahead. Keep going. Keep lifting your eyes to what is ahead, which is future life, eternal life with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said to us this morning, enter through the narrow gate. There's warning. There's encouragement. And really, that is the big point this morning. If you're in the crowds, we need to change lane. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then stay in the lane. And really, all I want to do for our time is just kind of expand on that, think through what that means, the implications. But in one sense, what I've shared already, is the essence of what Jesus is saying. But let's first look at the warning that Jesus gives. So firstly, in verse 13, let me just read it again. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Here's the warning. As well as the narrow gate, which is a picture, as it were, of walking with Jesus and listening to his words, there's this other wide gate, this popular road, which is a picture of walking without Jesus and ignoring his words. Now, the big reason why Jesus is warning, particularly the crowds here, about the wide gate and the broad road is its end. It's because it's heading for destruction. And worse still is that it's so popular. There's so many people. See, again, in verse 13, we're told many enter through it. And this is a challenge, isn't it? We like to fit in with the crowds. We like to do what other people are doing. See, peer pressure can be a powerful tool. And perhaps this morning we're tempted to be like, well, is that road better? And there was a man named Solomon Asked, if I've said that correctly. I'm sure someone will correct me later on. But this man, Solomon, once devised a conformity experiment to see what impact peer pressure has. And the experiment was simple. He got seven actors who agreed beforehand on particular answers that they were going to give wrongly to a series of kind of easy questions. And then he ran this experiment with kind of one unsuspecting person. So the scene is, you've got eight people in a room answering questions. Seven of them have decided to answer incorrectly certain questions. And one person has no idea and he's just there to answer the questions. Now, here's a little taste of one of the questions that was on the sheet. And you've got a slight disadvantage because it's slightly blurred. But the question would have been something like this for this one. You know, which the target line, which is it most similar to? Is it A, B, or C? Any answers? Any takers? Okay, good. No one's here has been told to give the false answers. Now, the research found, okay, this is really interesting, that a third of people completely gave in to peer pressure. So say this was the question, and seven of the people said A, then the unsuspecting person joined in with them and said A as well. A third of people gave in. Over 75% of unsuspecting participants gave at least one clearly incorrect answer. So what were the findings? Well, they showed that people conform for two reasons. Firstly, they want to fit in with the group. And secondly, because they believe the group is perhaps better informed than they. Maybe they've missed something. Now, why am I talking about this experiment? Well, apart from the fact I think it's quite interesting, and you have that question, don't you? What would I do in that situation? I would stand firm, surely. But much more importantly is the reality that we naturally hate being the odd one out. This experiment proves it. I imagine that most of us in this room dislike the idea of sticking out like a sore thumb or kind of swimming against the tide. It isn't particularly appealing to do that. And so the temptation is that we can be drawn into being like those around us, like those who ignore Jesus' words, perhaps because it's more convenient or less costly, or perhaps just because it seems to make the most sense to my friends and my family, those I care and respect, so perhaps I should just do what they do. But Jesus says those who walk along the broad road, and they wouldn't call it the broad road, they might try to persuade you to join them. They might say things like, live how you want, make your own rules, be your own boss. And it can sound attractive to us. In fact, the broad, wide, and liberal road appears to offer all the freedom in the world. You know, do what you want. Doesn't that sound good? And perhaps as someone listening in to Jesus' teaching up the mountain these past few weeks, you think, well, Jesus, that sounds lovely, you know, pursuing righteousness, doing these things. But it's just not really for me, you know? It doesn't really fit in with who I am or with my friends who I hang out with. It's not how I really want to live my life, thank you. So Jesus, thanks for that, but no thanks. I'm going to go down this road. But don't let this attractional and popular lie deceive you. Because Jesus says that this road, ignoring him, ends in destruction. It isn't freedom. It's not freedom to stay bound by sin, by doing wrong, and it leads to destruction. This is the road that ends, Jesus says, in eternal tears. See, don't take these words or this warning lightly. This path might be the popular choice in our world's eyes, but look where it ends. Verse 13, it ends, it leads to destruction. Again, if you're not a disciple of Jesus this morning, This is where you're heading. The X, as it were, is on your lane. And Jesus says, change lanes. You must turn from the broad road that leads to destruction and come to Jesus, come to me. Because Jesus can forgive your sins, past, present, and future. And not only that, he gives you real freedom and a real hope, a hope of eternal life with him, with sins gone, sins removed. Jesus says, listen to the warning of him today. Enter through the narrow gate. Disciples of Jesus, there's a warning for us too. You know, as those who have been rescued from the broad road, who are heading for life, not destruction, there's a warning for us here too. You see, the temptation perhaps for us is that we can look at others who are on the broad road, as Jesus describes it here, and we can maybe even envy them a little bit. See, cast your mind through the last few weeks. Have there been times when you've looked at those around you and been jealous of how they live? And you think to yourself, well, my colleagues at work seem to be doing pretty well. You know, they've got things sorted, they're thriving, and they don't care or listen to Jesus at all. In fact, they've got all life sorted, you know, money in the bank, kids doing well at school. Am I wasting my time trying to walk down the narrow road, as Jesus calls it? Am I on the right road? The temptation to envy is sadly all too real for us. But remember, friends, where the wide gate and broad road leads to, it leads to destruction. And not only that, it is worth pondering the outcome of those who remain on the broad road, but remember the freedom that Jesus has bought us, that he's won for us at the cross. You see, as forgiven, rescued people, Jesus has saved us from the destruction we deserve for so often ignoring him. But Jesus has also saved us from the slavery to sin and from the lasting guilt and shame of our sin. Disciples of Jesus, when you gaze at those walking on the broad road, don't envy them. Don't think life was much better then. Don't envy them. Pray for them. That God would have mercy on them as he has had on you. Pray for opportunities to speak honestly about the destruction that is coming and about the eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Jesus says to disciples and to the listening crowd, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. You see, this warning will involve action for all of us. You see, you can't expect to somehow kind of fall through the gate or trip up through it. It requires deliberate action that should stem from our love of Jesus because of what he's done for us. It's worth saying too that neither can you pursue the broad road and expect to enter the narrow gate. If you ignore Jesus' words now, then at the end of the road, at the gates of heaven, as it were, you in turn will be ignored by him. There's no safety in numbers along the popular road. You see, as a teacher in the playground, when I was telling off a group of kids for doing something wrong, what was the thing that they always used to say? Well, everyone else was doing it. But you see, don't be fooled. On the last day, when Jesus calls each of us individually to account, that won't cut it. Only those who come to the feet of Jesus and cry out to him for forgiveness and his help will enter the kingdom. Take note of this warning. It's serious. Act on it. Come to Jesus. Now, we've considered the warnings here. What about the encouragement? Well, let me read verse 14 to us again. And Jesus says, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, I'm a great lover of kids' films, and that predates being a parent. Maybe it's just the simple plot lines that I can cope with. But one of my favorite films is Finding Nemo. Has anyone seen that? Yeah? Spoiler alert, if you haven't, it's about a fish called Marlin who's finding Nemo, his son. And along the way, as Marlin goes on this quest to find his son, he gains a friend called Dory, who's helping him pursue his son. And there's this moment in the film where they arrive at this dark and narrow trench. You can imagine it. Or I'll show you a picture. There you go. There it is. Now, Dory had just been warned by some nice fish that the safe path was to enter and swim through the narrow, gloomy trench. However, Marlin, he decides to ignore this suggestion and leads them over the top, which at first sight appears bright and spacious. It's lovely up there. They can see clearly. It's something he starts to boast about. It's like, look how much better it is up here. Until they realize that they're in huge danger because there's thousands of jellyfish in their way. They're in deep trouble. And you see, the logic that Marlin took, it's similar to what we've just seen with the broad road. It looks spacious. It looks free. It looks appealing. So why should we enter through the narrow gate? What encouragement do we have in the trials as we seek to do that? Why should we keep going as disciples of the Lord Jesus? Why should we stay in lane, go through the gloomy, narrow trench, as it were? It's certainly not appealing to the eyes well, and it's certainly not natural to us. But firstly, just note the simplicity of what Jesus is saying in verse 14. Because where does this road ultimately lead to? This road, this narrow trench, as it were, it leads to life. It's God's design. It's a narrow path. Now, narrow in its sense, if you just take the word, narrow does, in one sense, mean constricted and confining in many ways. And that might sound really negative to us this morning. Well, you know, God's way is confining to us. But despite it sounding negative, it's anything but. You see, the narrow road is good. It is true wisdom, the Bible says. And not least because it leads to life. But there's real freedom as we walk. In summary, walking the narrow road brings together all that Jesus has taught his disciples up the mountain. So the narrow road is the life that calls disciples to keep their word and not change our word to suit our needs or desires. The narrow road is the life that calls disciples to secret service, so that we wouldn't be self-seeking glory grabbers, but that we would be seeking the glory and honor of God of heaven. Remember Jesus' prayer, hallowed be your name. That's the life of a disciple, living the narrow road. The narrow road is the life where disciples don't chase after the needs, the food, the drink, the clothing now, because we know that God will provide all of these things. So what do along the narrow road? Well, they pursue righteousness. They seek to obey God's commands and Jesus' teaching. Again, you see, think back to the start of the Sermon on the Mount. Who are those who will be given the kingdom of heaven? Well, flick back to chapter 5 with me. And look at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look at verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, this way of life, this kind of being poor in spirit or being persecuted for having faith in Jesus, it isn't attractive. It's not appealing to us. But it is what Jesus commands, and it's what leads to full life and full freedom. And Jesus says to us this morning, disciples, take heart. Be encouraged. If you experience those things, you're on the right path. Keep going. Stay in lane. What will that continue to look like? Well, it will mean continuing to learn from Jesus and to submit to his word. And as we do, we will discover that this is a greater freedom. You see, sin naturally holds us captive, but Christ has set us free. Ask anyone here who's a disciple. You see, our old way of life was empty and unsatisfying, wasn't it? The life we've been given in Christ is full, and it satisfies beyond all measure. One life was leading to death. The life Jesus has saved us for leads to true and eternal life. See, if you would call yourself a disciple of Jesus today, is that the road you're pursuing? Are you continuing to submit to Jesus' word? As we were challenged last week, are you in the habit of asking, seeking, and knocking on heaven's door for Jesus' forgiveness and his help? These words are an encouragement. If you're finding life tough as a disciple at the moment, if you're facing hardship and persecution, Jesus says, keep going. The narrow and unpopular road you walk on is temporary. But the reward, the life that awaits, is eternal. Keep going. Stay in lane. You may feel like you're swimming against the tide, but Jesus said that's normal. Jesus said only a few will find the narrow road. Paul writes in Philippians 3, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. What's going to help you this week to keep your eyes fixed on the prize of eternal life? What's going to help you fix your gaze this week of heaven that's ahead, that's awaiting us as those who trust in Jesus? Well, certainly, I mean, keep coming to Jesus. But perhaps there's practical things we can do to help each other. Maybe it's sending a text to someone, a verse that's encouraged you this week. Perhaps it means being deliberate in your prayer life, praying in the morning, praying in the evening, thanking God for another day that moves us closer from this temporary world to his eternal home in heaven. See, be creative. But do what it takes to keep pursuing this road with Jesus' help, however difficult, because it's worth it. It leads to life. I was reminded of some words in the Gospel of John as I was preparing this. After Jesus had been teaching about being the bread of life to crowds and to his disciples, his message was, I'm the one you need, I'm the bread of life. But we're told afterwards that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Which is really striking. It was too hard to follow Jesus, recognizing we're totally helpless. And as lots of people leave, Jesus turns to his disciples, his closest disciples, and says, are you going to go too? And Peter responds, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else are we going to go? If you want life, there's nowhere else to go but to Jesus. His words are life. I hope we can all see that this morning. And disciples who know that to be true, stay in lane, be encouraged, pursue the road, pursue the narrow road, because it leads to life. As we begin to close, as we finish, just let me sum up what we've seen. You see, Jesus is holding this simple picture up for us. So there's one narrow road, one that leads to life, and one broad road that leads to destruction. One road which Jesus encourages disciples to stay on, to pursue, but he urges the crowd to pursue too. And there's one road for us to turn from. There's one road that accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior, and there's one road that rejects Jesus and his words. As this picture is held up for us, Jesus gives just one command, a command for disciples and for the crowds listening on, a command that warns the crowds to change lanes, to flee from the road that leads to destruction, and to come to Jesus for help. And a command that shows us all the way to have true life. And one that encourages disciples, saved disciples, to keep going in their obedience to his words. And even this morning, Jesus says to us, look, if you're part of the crowd, if you came in this morning as part of the crowd, well, you can leave today being a disciple, knowing your future is safe in his hands. You can change lanes, turn from destruction, to life. Listen and act on what Jesus says. Enter through the narrow gate. You see, this isn't a call to kind of pull your socks up, try a bit harder. Because if we're truly Jesus' disciples, this will calls us to fall at the feet of Jesus again and again, poor in spirit, remembering our failings, but praising him for his perfect life, of never once leaving the narrow road, who took the destruction that we all deserve, and now who empowers us by his spirit to live like him and to pursue the narrow road that leads to life. All of us in this room are on one of those roads. We're standing by one of those gates. Which one are you standing by? Again, I just hope you see the clarity of these words this morning. It's clear, isn't it? Jesus says, this way to life with me for eternity, this way leads to destruction for all eternity. It's simple, and yet many are heading on this path, and few are heading to life. We could be so caught up in all the distractions of this world that we are willing to perhaps ignore Jesus' words and head straight for destruction. But Jesus says this morning, don't be fooled. This is real. This is serious. It calls us to action. Which road are you on? Which gate do you stand by? So there we go. Two ways to live. Two roads. One to life. One to destruction. Which road are you on? Well, let's just take a minute, shall we, to reflect on what we've heard. Perhaps this morning you want to ask Jesus to, as it were, to change lanes, to ask him for his help to do that, to ask for forgiveness. And if you do, know you can leave here rejoicing, knowing that you're now on the road that leads to life. Let's just take a few minutes to reflect. Our gracious Father in heaven, we want to say sorry this morning for the times where we walk, as it were, the broad way, our own way, ignoring your words. We praise you that in Jesus we have one who never walked that way, who always walked pursuing righteousness, who lived in perfect obedience to you, and yet died on a cross in place of sinners like us. Our Father, as disciples, would you help us to keep pursuing the narrow road, that we would stay in lane, that we would fix our eyes on what's ahead. And Father, for those of us here this morning who would consider themselves part of the crowd, Father, please, would you open their eyes to see their need of Jesus? Would you bring them onto the narrow road today and onto a road that leads not to destruction, but to eternal life? Our Father, please, would you do that this morning? And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.